We'll turn to the book of Philippians. Been praying about it, what direction we're going to go. And we're probably going to be looking at, we'll probably be teaching verse by verse through the book of Philippians and then probably into Colossians. And we'll be looking at some other verses of Scripture as we go. Right now, we're just going to kind of kick it off and probably ain't going to get very far. First, I'd like to read something that the people who put this Bible together had to say about the book of Philippians as far as historically. Said, Paul writes a thank you note to the believers at Philippi for their help in his hour of need. He uses the occasion to send along some instruction on Christian unity. His central thought is simple. Only in Christ are real unity and joy possible. With Christ as your model of humility and service, you can enjoy a oneness of purpose, attitude, goal, and labor. A truth which Paul illustrates from his own life, and one the Philippians desperately need to hear. Within their own ranks, fellow workers in the Philippian church are at odds, hindering the work and proclaiming new life in Christ. And because of this, Paul exhorts the church to stand fast, be of the same mind, rejoice in the Lord always, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let their requests be known. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's basically the heart of this book, and I kind of looked through it, and I agree with a lot of things they brought out. I don't agree with all the notes here, but I think there's a lot more to some of these words that they bring out. We're going to be in verse 1. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And if you're a saint, you're in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, here they put a note about bishops, and they use the word overseers. And I think that is true. They have the oversight of the ministry, and they're there to watch. The Bible says they watch for your souls, and, you know, we're to be in submitted to the authority that God has given them in the Lord. But more, I'm afraid too many pastors today, they look at overseers like you would think down in the workplace, somebody who drives people, you know, gets them going, you know what I mean, just pushes them, cracking the whip, so to speak, you know. And God never meant that at all. A better word, I think, would have been ministers, because that's what they're to do. As Christ said, he came in this world not to be served, but to serve. And so the job of the bishops and the deacon is to serve and to tend to the body of Christ. And they're to watch for our souls. They're to make sure that you don't get bad teaching coming in, you know, false prophets coming in with bad doctrines, and we know that the churches are full of these kind of people, and we know that also that Paul had warned over in the book of Acts, and he was telling the churches there, he said, you won't see me no more, you know, he said, I'm going to Rome, and I'm eventually going to die there. And he said, but he warned them that grievous wolves would come in, not sparing the flock. And he said, and some of them are going to rise up out of you. So we got to mind ourselves that we don't get caught up in bad doctrine. These people who had worked with Paul and, you know, served with Paul, he said, some of you, you know, you're going to get caught up in this stuff and you're going to go the wrong direction. Let's ask ourselves how many people we know over the years who left the direction that the church was going in here and decided to go a different direction, one that you couldn't really give reason for by the Bible. It's just what their personal approval and opinion was about Scripture. And I'm not here to judge nobody. I'm here to say we just got to mind, you know, how we hear. And we need to make sure that we're listening to the Holy Spirit of God and not to our own spirit. Our own spirit will try to lead us in a way. We've all got a philosophy, and we got to beware. The Bible said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And you got it. You're a man, and you have a philosophy, and you got to watch. You got to be careful. You got to let the Holy Spirit examine your hearts all the time. Let the Holy Spirit know that you can't do this. You really don't understand. We don't really understand this Bible. The Holy Spirit has to teach it to us. We can get an opinion about what it means, but that doesn't mean it's right. What we need is the Spirit of God always to be our teacher. And he's telling them that Paul is exhorting the saints in Christ Jesus. We're at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. He says, grace be to you. If you look at all of the letters that we know that Paul wrote, he always starts off with grace to you. You know, he wants us to understand that we are what we are by the grace of God. And it's not of ourselves. As you read on down through here, you'll find out that you are what you are, not because of you, but because of Christ Jesus. And we're to acknowledge that. If there be anything right in your life, you have to give all the credit to God. Because within me that is my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But there's one that does, and there's one that works in us, and he'll never cease to work in us. I thank God for that. Grace be in you and peace from God our Father. And he wants them to understand. He said, God is at peace with you when you come to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now we are to be at peace with God. We're not always to be wondering and worrying, you know, about how God feels about us. Hey, God wants us to realize He loves us. I mean, He gave us His Son. And He demonstrated the love that God had for us by His death on the cross. So He wants us to be at peace with God. So many people today are always fretting and wondering, you know, about, well, you know, is things right? Oh, God, is God pleased with me? Hey, God ain't pleased with you. He's pleased with Jesus. He's pleased with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's already admonished and told us right here, which are in Christ Jesus. And that's where that peace comes from. We've made peace with God by receiving. And that's what pleases God, that we received His Son. And that pleases God that we've done this. He says, now, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like this next verse. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, ask yourselves. When you're at home or you're doing this or you're going about your life, are you thankful for the remembrance of the saints here? Of the membership here, of the people here. That's what Paul's saying. He said, every time I think about you, he said, I give thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for them being in my life. Thank you, Lord, that they're my brother. Thank you, Lord, you know, that you're working in them. He's got thanks on every remembrance of you. Paul today, I guarantee you, if he's looking down in heaven, he's seeing what his epistles have wrought in the hearts of each of us, because he's our apostle. And he's thanking God for every remembrance of you. He thanks God for every remembrance of Brother Melvin, or Brother Park, or Brother Jerry. Hey, God is, you know, he's wanting us to be thankful for every remembrance. You know what? If you become thankful, if we become really thankful for each other, I tell you what, that'll cover a lot of problems. A lot of church problems. It'll teach us and learn. It'll teach us a lot of times to keep our mouth shut. You know what I mean? If you're going to do anything, you know, give thanks to God. Amen? Huh? I mean, hey, there's a lot of us, one for the grace of God. We're far from perfect, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, there'd been a lot of us, we wouldn't have been here today. Well, we'd been running down the lake and stopping to get a 12-pack on the way.
Amen.
Huh?
Right, amen.
Huh? Amen. You know, and we ought to be thankful for the God for to God for the things that He has done. Hey, no, nobody here is perfect. You know, from the pulpit to the back row, you know. And let's just be thankful for what God is doing. Let us quit remembering our failings and everybody else's failings. I mean, hey, we don't want people coming up to us all the time and telling us our faults. Nobody enjoys that. I would rather you come tell me as come tell everybody else. So if you got a problem with me, you know, anything whatsoever, come talk to me about it. Don't need to go talk to Brother Calvin about it. Or even the pastor about it. You ought to talk to me first, ain't it? That's what the Bible teaches, right? Huh? If anything is anybody, go to them. And do it in a spirit of love. Do it in a spirit of, I'm thankful to God for this person, but there's something that I think is amiss, and I need to talk to them about it. He's thankful. Always in every prayer of mine, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And notice this. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making request with joy. That's your last time. When's the last time you got down in prayer and with joy? Thinking about how, I mean, it should give us joy to make requests. That's what Paul's saying. He didn't say making requests for my needs. He said what brings joy. I always like that little definition for joy. If you want to have joy, what is it? Jesus, others, and we come last. That's spelled joy. Jesus, others, and you. Joy. And look what he's doing. He's going to Jesus for others, and guess what he's doing? He's putting joy in his heart. Amen. You want to be a joyful Christian? Hey, forget about yourself and think about others. Live for others. Let this my motto be. Amen? Others, Lord. And I always like that old spiritual song, Others. But I tell you, Paul is letting us know right here, if you want to have joy in his life, hey, if you want to be thankful for something, first be thankful. Hey, don't be thankful for the big house you live in or the nice new car you got. Be thankful for the people down at the church house. Amen? Hey, be thankful for the people down on your job you have opportunities to witness to, too. I thank God for this. This past week, you know that verse over? It says, and we know all things work together for good. Monday, we got this little rain came up, and I had stopped and got groceries, and I was walking into my house. How many of you have ever done this? You got your feet wet, and you step on that old cement. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. I come in, and I was hurrying because it was coming down cats and dogs. So I was hurrying, and I come walking in. One foot went one way, the other foot went the other way, and down I come. Groceries went up and went another way, and bam, down on the ground I went. I mean, when I hit my arm, this part of my arm, I felt it come all the way out this other one. I mean, it shocked it. I got up, and it took me a little bit, but I got up. Got up part of them groceries and hobbled into the house, and I told my wife, I said, I just hurt myself. I can tell. I hurt myself. And I felt it right across here. I felt it right across here, and I felt it down this leg right here, like a hamstring. I said, I hurt myself. Well, next morning, I didn't feel that bad. I got up and went to work. Oh, well, by lunchtime, I said, I've had enough. I'm going to the house, like this. So I went to the house, called doctor, got an appointment for Wednesday. Man, I was good and sore by then. But I go in there and see my doctor, and she's a female doctor. She's getting ready to have a baby, and right before I was going to tell you when I came in, she said, "Well, I'm sorry, the lady there, you know, the reception said
I'm sorry, you had to come in under this situation. I said, well, it's okay. I said, I'm going to get me a new body. And she said, and me too, just as soon as I get to heaven.
Amen.
It's good to find things out like that. That encouraged me. So I went in, seen the doctor, and right before she left, I said, excuse me, wait a minute, can I talk to you a second? And I said, I'd like to pray for you, if that's okay. And she said, yes, that would be okay. And so I kind of prayed the gospel and asked God to help them to be the kind of parents they ought to be for that new one that's coming on. Prayed for her family, because this was her first grandchildren, and got to pray around for her family. So there's one thing, and she was bubbling after that. I mean, it just really touched her that somebody wanted to care enough for her to pray for her. And I was able to do it in joy. I was so thankful. There's all kinds of opportunities if we'll look for them. Hey, you know, by the time it's over with, I was glad I fell and got hurt. I'm serious. I went home, my heart, you know, warmed with opportunity to share Christ to some people I didn't really know, but it allowed me, I guarantee you, that doctor probably not going to forget that no time soon. And somebody cared enough to pray for her baby that was getting ready to be born. Well, Paul says, always and every prayer mind for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now. And it's good to get together and talk and just fellowship. And I know everybody in here just about, except for me, loves Carolina basketball. I'm not a Carolina fan. If you go to my house, you'll find some North Carolina State ball caps. but you can't be no traitor. You know what I'm saying? I kind of fell for North Carolina State years ago when old Monty Towel and David, what was his
Tom
name?
Thompson.
David Thompson, you know, won the United States Championship, you know. And they whooped out Carolina to get to go. Remember? You remember that?
No, I forgot.
Yeah, I bet you did. But anyway, but you know, and it's good to fellowship about things. You know, it's good to talk about, you know, hunting and fishing. I love to, especially fishing. I love to talk about fishing. I love to fish. But as I was reading this, I was sitting there thinking, you know, I don't find no greater joy in being here, being with believers and fellowshipping about what Christ has done for us. I don't know, buddy. You know, somebody starts talking to me about how God has blessed them that week and they got opportunities to witness, and maybe somebody trusted Christ, or, you know, or we just look into the riches of what we have in Christ and get talking about it. I just get excited about that. And I like it. I like that. It's where I want to be. It's with God's people. Out on the front porch, talking to people about Jesus. That's where I want to be. I got to work, but that's where I want to be. You say, what do you want to do when you retire? Hey, I want to get some more tires on, and I want to do like some of you other men that's retired. I want to spend it out in service in the fellowship of the gospel, because that is I'm not going to be spending all my time down on the river trying to catch a bigger fish. I'm going to try to spend my time out there on the front porch trying to catch a bigger fish. That's what I want to be doing. I like that fellowship of the gospel. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. And you remember the first day? Huh? You remember the first day? I mean, when all of a sudden, you saw, man, I'm not the same. I'm a different person. I am not who I used to be. I still got who I used to be, but I'm not who I used to be. I'm somebody different. I forget, years ago, a fellow I worked with, and he said, and evidently a bunch of men at work was talking about me. Because he said, you know, he said, well, I told these guys around here, he says, David Leslie left out one Friday, one fella, he come back Monday, somebody else. And that's the way it felt. I felt like a different person. I don't always like this person, but I thank God for my fellowship, the fact that I am in the gospel of Christ. I remember the first day when God spoke to my heart, even unto now. Even this day, I've had opportunity to talk with people about our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, and being confident. You know, a lot of people need to get some more confidence in what they got to say. You have, you remember what they said about Jesus? He didn't teach like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the priests. He spoke as one having authority. That's confidence. If you know that God has given you authority, it's going to give you confidence. You know? And God wants us to be confident of our fellowship in this gospel. That there's power in it. It's able to change. It is able to make a difference in this world. And we need to be confident of that. We need to be so confident of it that everywhere we go, it's coming out of our mouth. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, look, he's saying, everywhere I go, because of my confidence of what God has done in my life, it's just coming forth like a flood. That's what we need. We need that boldness and confidence in Christ that anything, that everything we do and say is able to make a difference in people's lives in the gospel. That gospel is the power, it's the dynamite of God. It can blow a sinner out of hell into heaven. I mean, he's living for the devil, but he can blow him out of darkness into light. I mean, it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. Now, he's confident. He said, I'm confident in this very thing. That he which hath began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. He said, I'm confident of the Word of God. I'm confident that Jesus Christ is going to keep you. Hey, I've known people that in my heart I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I still know it, they are saved. And I've seen them go back into the world. I've seen that happen to people. But I know that it's, in my heart, I know that they were saved. He said, how do you know? Because of the things that they knew. The things that they profess that come out of their mouth. The Bible said the gospel is hid in them that are lost. And they had an understanding of it. You could tell it by the things that they said. But by something that happened in their life, they turned back, went into the world. I never forget, I'm not going to say who this was, but this person, and he got caught up, and Buddy was, and I have no doubt this person saved. I don't know how he's doing now. I haven't heard. But I remember saying to him, I said, well, you know that you're saved, don't you? He said, I'm not sure. I said, that's good. Because if I was living like you, I wouldn't be sure either. Like an old Presbyterian preacher I heard said one time, he said, the old Baptist told him, he said, look, I'm saved, I can live any way I want to. He said, that is the doctrine of eternal security. He said, funny thing, that a man can live like the devil and be secure. I believe eternal security too, but I also believe this, when a man turns away from the truth, turn back in this world. I don't care how saved he is. He cannot be happy. The Bible said God, he'll be filled with his own ways and
backslider will hardly be filled with his own ways. He's going to be discouraged, unhappy, miserable, and uncertain. They get sure. And you say, and I know in my heart that he was saved, but when I talk to him, I'm going to talk to him like somebody's lost, because he is. He's lost his way. He's not lost to God, but he has lost his way. He's lost his fellowship with God. He's lost his understanding of the Scriptures. He's as lost as a person can be. And I'm going to tell you something. He is a hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Because he has made a profession and now has went back, and the world said, see, there ain't nothing to that. But I am confident this very thing he is would begin a good work in you will perform it into the day of Christ. I believe if God will deal with a person, but there'll come a time, hey, he'll take him out of this world if he belongs to him. I believe that. And it is meat for me. I like that word meat. I look through the Scriptures. You remember in Genesis when God made man and he said, it's not good that man should be alone. Right? He said, it ain't good that man should be alone. He said, I'm going to make a help. He needs some help. We all need some help. And he said, Paul says, for it is meet. It is meet for me to think this of you all. Amen. What was he just talking about? That he was confident. That he was confident. That God, who started his work in him, was going to finish it. So what he's saying right here, I am strengthened. I am encouraged. I am, you know, I have been made partakers with you. We're joined together. You know what the Bible said about a single thread? It's easily broken, isn't it? But a threefold cord. And buddy, I'm telling you, when we get together as believers and we have that fellowship in the gospel, buddy, I'm going to tell you what. Hey, the devil could come here with all the lies in the world. And you know what? You got a multitude of counselors around you. And it's going to say, get hence, boy. Hey, you're not going to come here and tear this mess. Hey, you don't come here and tear this up, make no mess. Hey, you got to go. Huh? And Paul was saying right here, just like Eve was being helpmeet for, we know how that worked out. But it worked out all right. Believe me. I know they fell into sin, but guess what showed up? Grace. Where sin abounded, the grace much more abound. Every dispensation. And she's a mother. The Bible called her the mother of all living, not dead. Remember what Jesus said that? He's the God of the living. She had faith that what God promised, he was going to do. Give her a child that was going to deliver this world. And from the seed of the woman, it came. That promise came. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. But, hey, look here. A helpmeet. And here, and that's what we can be and ought to be to one another. And we need to be confident of each other that the work that God is doing in you, God's going to finish it. I'm careful about this idea. Well, you can only know that you're saved. I can't really be sure about anybody else. I'm a little bit leery of that, because how can I be confident if I don't know? If I'm only hoping that, Brother Terry, if you're saved, how can I be confident in what God's going to do? How can I be confident that my pastor is not going to fall? How can I be confident in that? You see, I'm confident in Christ. Though he were to fall, yet God's going to keep me. Though I were to fall, he's going to keep me. Though Melvin was to fall. Praise God, you ain't got far to fall, brother.
We'll pray about it.
I see, if you'd have been me the other day and went down like that, it probably wouldn't hurt you too bad. You weigh nearly 300 pounds like me. I don't weigh that
much. No, I'm pretty old.
Yeah, I'm kind of fragile, ain't
you?
Yeah. Yeah, I know that feeling. Well, you know, I'm confident in this very thing. He that began a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. Even it is meet for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart. I'm confident. And it's meet for me because of my confidence. It strengthens me. It helps me. I know it's right for me to think this of you all. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. Now, you think about this. Paul said, in my bonds. So my understanding is he was in jail about that time. He spent a lot of time in jail. You know? And I remember when we had Blues said, you come on down. He said, we'll get you all locked up. Over here in Rock of Ages, we'll get you all locked up. Hey, Paul spent a lot of time in prison. And I guarantee you, he was around some of the worst of the worst. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, them prisoners, a lot of them was crooks, thieves, murderers, just like they are down here. You know, the state or over here at the high rise or whatever, you know. They had some of the same crowd in it. Now, some of them were in there unjustly. Like, you could probably go over here to the high rise or down the state, find some of them have been arrested and put in prison unjustly. It happens. It happens. You know why? Because people are in charge of that, and people make mistakes. And sometimes they just have to you. Sometimes people just don't like you, and you go to court, and they say, you know, one thing about it, I believe this guy's guilty. They'll just take it under mind. I believe he's guilty. Whether they know it or not, they don't care. But Paul was around a crowd he's in, and he said, in my bonds, he said, I am partakers, you are partakers of my grace. He said, look, I'm locked up. I'm in bonds. But guess what? Grace is still there working in my life. When things are bad for you, when things ain't going well, you realize the grace of God? I mean, that's what I want you to understand about this verse. Paul, that things ain't going good. You know? But he said, I am in prison. He said, but I'm free. He said, now there's a bunch of people walking out here. They're at liberty to go where they want. He said, but they're bound. God has loosed him. I can't remember this fellow's name, but boy, it was a blessing. If you ever get a chance to read, I'm sure some of you have, Tortured for Christ. I don't know if any of you have ever read that book or not. If you haven't, you ought to. This guy was a Romanian, maybe? I can't remember. But anyway, he was a Christian. His last days spent in smuggling Bibles into, you know, the Soviet bloc countries, you know, communist bloc nations. And but he was when the nation fell into communism, and they were arresting all the church leaders and everything for years. He was in prison 14 years, and he was treated horribly. I mean, the things that they did to him is almost unbelievable. One thing they did to him, they made him stand like this wall. It was a white wall, just like this. It made him stand right there, just stand. Not for a half hour, an hour. Not for hours. For days. That's all he was to do. He was just stand right there. And he fell down. When he'd fall down, they'd kick him and stomp him and beat him 30, 40 minutes, then pick him up, stick his nose back up against the wall, and make him stand. I can't remember how long it was. I know it was days. Might have been a week. I don't know. You can imagine, he was delirious. You go that long without sleep, if you fall asleep, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fall down. And when you fall down, you know what they're going to do? They're going to kick him and stomp him and beat him, drag him up there and stick him back up. But he did it for days. They finally let him go back to his room. But he went back to his room. He saw himself in the mirror. His legs were more than twice the size they normally were. All the fluid had gathered down there from having to stand. The thing that bothered him, though, is his wife and his children were still in the eastern block, and he knew that they would look up. You know what I'm saying? That they would use them against him. He was terrified of that. But he finally got word that they had gotten out. They were escaped. They were in a safe place. He said, at that moment, he said, I was free. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about his wife, his children, that they would use against him. Now they were gone. He said, there was nothing they could do to me. Nothing. He said, he saw things. He said, they'd be working in fields, and they just indiscriminately, they'd walk down there, and all of a sudden, they'd pow. Let you know it could come to you at any time. 14 years of that. He said, you know, something I found, he found out, he learned. During that time of persecution, there were no differences in the believers. He said, even the Catholic gave up his Catholicism. He said, there were no Presbyterians, Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists. Y'all had one thing on their heart. Seeking him. Him to give them strength for what they was going through. We need that as a church too. We don't need to be all divided. This problem, this church right here is in disunity. You know what I'm saying? And they all went to the same place. They all assembled together. But they were divided. God wants us to be in unity, one with another, fellowshipping in the truth of the gospel of God. He says right here, it's meet for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, and notice this, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. Three words right there, defense. He understood there was a war. And he knew that what was under attack was the gospel. That's what was under attack. Not him, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And confirmation. He wants it to be confirmed. We Baptists don't use that word much, confirm, because we think about other churches that use the word confirmation. You know what I'm saying? But there's some things that should be confirmed in us, that people know that we are children of God and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some things that should be evident that's been confirmed. That there should be a witness between us, which is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, bearing witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. And if you have that same spirit, we ought to have witness between each other. And that's the fellowship of the gospel. We have that fellowship one with another in the gospel, which is the words of God, the good news that's given to us in this blessed book. It's meat for you. And that in the confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. You see, when we get together and we get to talk about things, you know what we get to find out? Hey, you're enjoying some of the things I'm enjoying. The scriptures mean the same things to you as they mean to me. They're helping you, they're helping me. They're encouraging me, they're encouraging you, you see. We're partakers of the grace of God. And that is confirmed in us because we understand we are all partakers of that same grace. He said, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." From week to week, do you long to be back in church? Be around your brothers, sisters? Hey, from week to week, do you long to meet over here on Thursday or wherever y'all meet? Hey, go knock on doors, you know? From bi-week to bi-week, Brother Jerry, there ought to be something in us that desires and long for the opportunity to go out on a Bible club. You see? From week to week, there ought to be something in me that longs after the children that ride or don't ride on my bus. From week to week. I got a situation right now on my bus route. Y'all can pray for me about it. Trinity, whisking away all the children. I get lined up to come. Some of them were coming regular, and now they're gone. I'm not at war with Trinity, and I'm not going to get one. But pray to God will work that thing out. You know what I'm saying? Where I don't get people lined up to come to church, and then they end up, you know, taking off on another bus. You know? I appreciate your prayers about that. And mine is not the only one that's done that. Me and Brother Terry had that happen to us time and time again on the routes in town. We're to be working together, not against each other. So pray God help us. And I'm with him. God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. You see, it's not us, it's Christ in us. He desires that fellowship from week to week. We're getting ready to go in to church services, and there ought to be something in us that longs, desires to have Jesus Christ in the midst. That we have that fellowship in the Spirit. Round about. We'll be encouraged by His presence, and His power, and His truth as a preacher who's of the Scripture. Brings us the light of the gospel. Or be great fellowship. I pray, dear, that you would let God just have it way in their service today. And, Lord, Lord, we would be so. Brother Cowell, you close this out.
Dear Father, as you come to me, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of
I don't know what to do with it. That's where we'd send money last year.